be helpful to get a sense that there is a ground. There's a kind of a ground on which we stand here in the retreat. And a little bit takes away from the sense of effort that I have to, it's all up to me to get the practice right or better. Or so it's good to recognize there is a ground. And then a little bit relax into that ground. And then the practice becomes a bit more like a bird on the wind. And less like a kind of, how you say, pigeon that has to flap its wings. Okay? And the ground is just presence, firstly. To be present. Without defining what presence is, but a sense of I'm here. And it goes especially with this retreat where we're really opening to a sense of meeting some basics, the me and the world. So presence, very basic presence, it's, as I said, being available to experience. It's not difficult. I'm available to what happens. Ani zamin lema she'oleh. It's very basic, but we often forget it because we are so used to saying, I have to get there, do it. So especially in this retreat, be available, be present, let the retreat do its job in ways that we may not understand. So it's there's intention, yes. Ait kavnut, yes. But it's much more the, like I love that word in the Tanakh, hineni. That's the intention. So I mean, who asked Abraham, where are you? It's what you asking yourself. We're asking ourselves, where am I? And it's God that asked Abraham. So the voice, the real deep inner voice asked Abraham, where are you? And Abraham said, hineni. That takes that much effort, but not more. So that, to me, that's a nice image, this word, hineni. Here I am. What more can I say? Here I am. That's all we can say. So that place would be a light intention. And it goes with, I think, recognizing the gifts that we have. And the gift, one gift of the, is just stopping. And it's not shutting down, it's stopping. So that, you know, a little bit getting off the wheel, to get off the wheel that keeps turning round and round and round. Just get off. That's a retreat. And we stop, but it's not that we shut down. We stop so we see that everything is alive and even moving. But it's not that we have to keep running on the wheel. But everything is alive. The body is alive. The birds are singing. There's energy and there's life. It's all moving. We stop so we can see more clearly movement. If we shut our eyes, it's often so we see more clearly with the inner eye. The gift of kindness is there. Mostly kind to ourselves, but remembering to be kind as a way of relationship with ourselves. Kindness is a base. But of course, there's plenty of kindness here. There's a huge gift that's how are we as a community? And how we live together here for a week in a different way from the kind of usual habits of the difficult world out there. We're actually creating a new society here. That's a gift. And it stays with us. And the gift of our Buddha eye, the fact that we have an awareness that knows, that is able to hold our experience, our Buddha eye, our inner awareness, our basic awareness that can hold our experience. So that's a gift. So, in terms of directing our attention, yes, it's helpful, in a way, the whole retreat, to give a light priority to the body. The body and the breath, give it a light priority. And the reason is that it's, in a way, the easiest place to land in the moment, the body. So it's a good primary place. It's much easier there to feel the sense of nowness, because we can't breathe in the past or the future, and we can't touch the ground in any other place except this one. So the body is quite a good ground, but it should be held lightly. We don't need to be all the time busy with the breathing as the only thing. Okay, and I'm doing it, I'm not doing it, with all the judgment that comes, I can only follow three breaths and all of that. We don't need that. But the body is a light, I would say, adifuyot, priority. One Zen teacher I met said, it's like the lotus in the pond. The pond is the cosmos, but too much. But the lotus in the pond, yes, this is good enough for me. So, a light priority with the body, and the body is in relationship to all the time. The body isn't a bubble with nothing out there. The body is in relationship. The body is relationship. So the body will also show us our relationship with the world. We will feel the wind on our face. We will listen to the birds. We will know the earth underneath. So the body is also showing us the intimacy with everything else. Right now, let's do a small exercise right now. Feel the weight of the body, okay? Pressing down. Body has weight. It's pressing. And feel the place which is pressing. And now really surrender into that place. In other words, let gravity pull us down into the earth, and we surrender to it. No resistance. we go with gravity. And what happens then? We are dropping down, but something is coming up. Something is alive there that we're surrendering into, something bigger than us. So I'll continue. All of this is with the sense. What we were using now was the sense of touch as our teacher. So we experience pressure, touch, hearing, seeing, touching, through the senses. We open, we are in the present, we see the life. So the senses are pulling us in the present moment, pulling us into awareness, pulling us into immediacy, into miyadiyut. One of the senses is the one we all complain about, which is the mind. And we forget that it's also a sense. In Buddhist psychology, the mind is a sense. There's not five senses, there's six. And the mind is one of them. And the reason is that the mind is seen as a gateway, a doorway, in which material arrives, just like material arrives into our ears. And we don't control that. It comes by itself. Sound arrives, and the same way thoughts arrive, bringing information. Maybe informatia, tmunot, zichronot. Are we in charge of that? It's not so different from the wind. Are we in charge of the wind? Can we control the wind? Efshar lishlot al haruach. Efshar lishlot al hamachshavot. Ken, efshar lagid, ken, katzat, ani yachol, you know, lechaven et hamoach sheli lekriya or mashu. Aval gam haruach, you know, we can say, okay, I shut the door so there's no wind. So we have a little bit of control, but basically it's a sense too. And we see, just like we are more aware of sound and touch, we also become more aware of our thoughts. And here we feel it's a problem. My thoughts just take over and I can't meditate. That's what we say. But there's something there that we can look at it again. Instead of saying my thoughts are a problem, they take over the wandering mind, we can say the thoughts are another sense, like the wind, bringing information. Let it come, let it go, like the wind, like the birds. So we can say, well, okay, but the thoughts are so strong, they take me away on journeys, and I'm suddenly in Ramat Gan, and I don't know how I got there. And it's true, but it's also not true. The thoughts, even if you think you're in Ramat Gan, some part of us will still be present here. A part of us will still be able to know that this is a thought. Maybe not 100%, but a bit. It's okay. So as much, instead of saying, I need to quieten my thought because that's what a retreat is meant to do, we can say, let my thoughts be there, going past in background. I allow them, like I allow the wind and the birds and the touch of the body and the breath and the thoughts, they pass by. Even if they take me apparently to Ramat Gan. And we kind of have a bigger picture that I'm still here in the witness place, Ha'edut, in the place of witnessing, in the place of there-ness. And slowly, slowly, if we do that, we will find that samadhi, meaning meditative concentration, will grow by itself. It doesn't, we don't need to fight thought in order to be concentrated on meditation. We can change our relationship to thought, and that will do the job. So, it's just a suggestion, a way of working with thought. Okay? Let it go in background. See there's a perfection, shlemut, in the wind, the birds, the thought, the ground, the sky, the breath, the cells, hata'im shelanu. Everything's doing what it needs to do. We just stand back and let it and be there with it, okay? Including thought. So we may experience in the retreat, of course, plenty of, I call it oi and joy. They, you know, Not so easy being a being, being born into a body. Doesn't matter whether we're born into being an ant or a human. Not so easy. So there can be pain in the body. There can be pain in the mind. There can be difficult emotion. There can be hindrances, which I won't talk about in detail right now, but just to know, you know, it can be restlessness or boredom or resistance or many things on the level of mind body can the whole lot. It can be there. We don't need to add to difficult experiences. We don't need to add another level of blame, for example. I should be in bliss and joy. We don't need to add any judgment. Pain comes because that's its time. That's what's happening right now. Okay. Chomagelim, that's the raw material right now. Joy comes. Okay, I'm ready. Pain comes, I'm ready. So we don't need to add what should be. Okay, this is what is right now. That's our chomagelim, the raw material. That's what we work with. It's the voices of our conditioned mind, samsara. We need to see that. So in some way or other, difficulty is an invitation. It's an invitation that says, look here. Here is your place of transformation, of shinui, of growing. So we can see difficulty as an invitation, as a place to say, okay. And we can say thank you. We may not want to, but we can say thank you. maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. So we relate to difficulty with kindness, with interest. We look at it. We are the witness of it. We see how it's moving and changing, and mainly we see it as an experience of a lo sof olam. Okay? It's an experience and not the end of the world. And we are ready for that. And that's why we need all the kindness and the good food and the nice retreat and so on. So help us to actually do something which is not so easy. To be able to look at difficulty with new eyes and say, okay, this is an experience, not the end of the world. It comes and it goes. So we, looking at it as an experience, is anatta, is already stepping out of identification, his dahut. We know what's going on, but we don't need to identify with it. So we step out and see it as experience. And it really helps. And we really have to do it. Because every one of us is going to go through what we have done, or we will do, or we are right now. Small or big difficulties, every one of us. We can't avoid that. Including our dying. So we better learn to non-identify. Step back and say, okay, this too. Gamze. I can hold with wise attention and kindness. Gamze. This too. And the talk last night, I don't want to go into this again, but just from the place of, I said something about from above looking down or from below looking up, but from above looking down, if there's insights and thoughts about self and about, you know, let them come. But basically, we're here to, in a way, to do the bottom-up practice, and the top-down will tend to happen by itself. If we have an insight about me and the world, say thank you. But very often, it's when our back hurts or our heart is in pain, we have more insight about self than reading lots of philosophy books. So just to be aware of that. Okay, so let's take 10-15 minutes quiet.